You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Welcome back to the New Churches Podcast. I'm Tony Morita with co-host, President, El Presidente, Vance Pittman of Send Network. Vance, good to be with you again on the podcast.
Tony, always good to get to hang out and do this. Real excited about what we're going to be talking about today. We're having a guest back who's been with us before. And today we're going to dive into the subject of demographics. Now, I know that just lit everybody up hearing that word. But it's really talking about how we can use demographics to better serve our community. At Send Network, we believe in church planting. You don't start with a church. You start with a city. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand how to exegete, how to discern who our community is, what our city is, what it's made up of, so that we can build those bridges and inroads into our culture. And we're going to talk about some things with an experienced, seasoned practitioner today who understands how to use demographics in engaging your city with the gospel so disciples can be made and churches can be planted.
Yeah, absolutely. And joining us today on this episode is Pastor Jamal Williams. He's the lead pastor of Sojourn Church Midtown in Louisville, Kentucky, and president of Harbor Network, a native of Chicago, and has just written a book. We did an episode on it, In Church as It Is in Heaven, co-authored with Timothy Paul Jones. Jamal, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you wrote this book, Church as It Is in Heaven, and a lot of that's based on your research of your community and then just kind of how you tailored your ministry and your church after those findings. Yes. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I came to the community I was in 2016, and the church was majority white. And there was an organization called Seed to Oaks that is actually led by our former kind of reach pastor of Sojourn Midtown. And he has this organization. He's passionate about helping churches to reach their community. And one of the things that they really stress is the importance of demographics, as well as just knowing the community. So going door to door and doing a neighborhood assessment is what they call. And a neighborhood assessment has really been huge for us. We actually do it every couple of years. And each time we do it, we learn a little more about the community. So, for example, for the first time I did it in 2016, the neighborhood was 55% African-American. We just did it a year ago, and we learned that it's 44% African-American. And there's a lot of other ethnicities that have moved in. And so what has helped us to do is to pinpoint the needs of the community. Going door to door, having a volunteer team just ask basic questions about the neighborhood, like, what do you think a church should be doing in this neighborhood? Mm-hmm. What do you wish churches would do? What are your needs? What are the needs you see in this community? And then building our reach processes out on that. So, for example, one of the main things that was missing in 2016 was medical care. We had a lot of people in our neighborhood that didn't have insurance. And so what we were able to do is we got together with those who were in the medical field in our church, and we dreamed, what does it look like to provide neighborhood medical care? And so then we started a partnership with U of L and with Bellarmine, as they have a huge nursing program. We have some doctors in our church, and we were able to do really robust medical clinics for our church. Within the first 2 years, we saved our neighborhood $250,000 of in-kind benefits. We had doctors, dentists, chiropractors volunteering their time 4 times a year, turn a church into a medical facility, essentially. And people came in, we partnered them with members of our church, and we just walked them through the various station. They got blood pressure. It took about an hour to go through everything, and by the end, the person that we trained and partnered with was looking for gospel opportunities and would invite them back to church. Mm-hmm. And so to this day, it's almost 8 years later, we still do that. We just had it this past week. We had a large Korean, Arabic, Latino, African-American and white presence, and it's really, really beautiful. And so now when you ask our people in our neighborhood about our church, very progressive neighborhood, they'll say, hey man, we don't believe what they believe, but they love this community. Mm-hmm. They do things like that. They education was another need, so we started tutoring programs, as well as summer programs for the kids. And we just used people who are in the education field in our church. Not used, but we had that we partnered with so that they can love the kids. And it's really been transformative and helpful. Now, since 2016, our neighborhood has changed a lot more professionals. And so we have a big arts emphasis in our church, an arts ministry. Have someone on staff that's over cultivating beauty. And so now we're starting to press into the arts. What can we do at our church? We have a gallery that the neighborhood would be interested in coming into the door so we can get to know them, chop it up with them, and learn their story.
Mm-hmm. I love this, because what we're really talking about for church planners that are listening to this is we're talking about the church thinking like the missionary.
Yes.
When a missionary goes into a foreign context, they don't walk in and begin preaching sermons. They look for a stream of culture, be that medicine, the arts, entertainment, education, sports. Yeah. And through that stream of culture, they build relational bridges that allow the gospel to walk from one life into another life. And what's unfortunate is the church in North America has stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. We've become, and that's an overgeneralization, but by and large, we've become, I love what Robert Lewis said, known by the corners we inhabit rather than by the cities with which we interact. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about where's so-and-so church, oh, it's located over here versus it's the church that's engaged. Our church in Vegas had a similar, we understood that one of the demographics of our community was a huge need for preschool care for children. Underserved families that didn't have preschool care. So we launched a preschool in our city, and 80% of the families that attended our preschool were not members of our church.
That's right.
They were non-believers. We saw first-generation immigrant families come to Christ all through meeting a need in the community. But if you don't understand the demographics, you don't know what the needs of your community are. And we must take a humble posture as a missionary to say, what are the needs of our community? How has God uniquely wired us to meet those needs, and how do we serve them?
That's right. And for churches that may feel overwhelmed, like, oh, I don't have staff, or we don't have the volunteers, we're just starting out, there's ministries like Seeds of Oaks that will help. They have a team for what they do. It's not very expensive, and they will come in, do an assessment, or do a free call and help you to brainstorm to figure out, hey, what are some small, easy things that you can do to kind of bridge that gap? In 2020, Breonna Taylor was killed in Louisville, and that was in our backyard.
Mm.
And so working with Seeds of Oaks, as well as our care, our outreach ministry, we just began to say, like, what does this community need? And one of the things that we just felt that they needed was just to be served and to be loved. So members of our churches got together, bought coffee, and some mornings, not every morning, would just go out and serve coffee and clean up.
Mm.
And we were amazed that how many people who had hard hearts towards the church and towards our church was just ministered to by reading about, hey, these Christians are going out not with anything on their shirts, and they're just cleaning up and serving coffee to both officers and protesters just to serve.
Yeah.
And that's the type of attitude we're trying to cultivate our church and continue. So
I think it's also a very important discussion, because a lot of guys who are sent out of effective churches have a temptation to just want to copy what the sending church is doing, rather than getting on the field, learning the city, learning their community, and fitting ministries for that community. Yes. And I think this is a very important word. Instead of doing a copy and paste of someone else's church, you need to be thinking about kind of where you're located. And so that's a really important conversation. As we think about demographics, Vance, I've heard you talk about more at a macro level, kind of the future of America. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Sure, yeah. I mean, demographers say that by 2043, there'll be no majority population left in the United States, which means we're becoming a majority-minority country. And the zip code that our church was planted in Las Vegas is actually already that. Mm. We don't have more than 50% of any demographic in the zip code, which is why our church has 54 languages. Some people hear that and go, well, not every church can be that multi-ethnic. That's true. Not every church can be. Yeah. But you should understand the dynamic of your local context. Brian Laritz is a good friend of mine, and he told me this stat that Dr. Corey Edwards, who's a sociologist from Ohio State University, she says the average local community is 10 times more integrated than the average local church. Yep. And the average local school is 20 times yeah. more integrated than the average local church, which that demographic understanding alone should awaken the church Absolutely. To the reality that legislation has done more in reconciling culture through where people live and where people go to school than the power of the gospel yep. in bringing them together in worship. Right. So when we understand these demographic realities, it creates an awareness and a conviction that the church must respond to. Yeah. And I believe convictionally, if we don't unlock the door of multi-ethnic church mm-hmm. with America moving demographically where it is, mm-hmm. we're not going to know how to reach our own nation, yeah. much less the nations, the peoples of the earth, if we don't figure this out.
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think you know, as Christians, man, we really have to get over ourselves.
Yeah,
and we
you
do
can say that again,
man. We have to get over ourselves.
Yeah,
we have the power of the gospel. We have the most Amen. Beautiful human being in all of the galaxy who has modeled the way for us.
Yeah.
And if we would simply submit to that, get over ourselves, and follow His way,
yeah.
We can have beautiful fellowships. Now, my fear is that the church will become multi-ethnic by 2043. It's going to happen, right? Yeah. But we will not be a healthy multi-ethnic church. Mm. It will be more assimilation than true integration
yes.
and empowerment.
Yes.
And so that's why we talk about having a multi-ethnic kingdom culture,
Love
a culture
it.
That creating a gospel context where people root their identity in Jesus, and their transcendent identity. While celebrating and appreciating what is good, true, and beautiful in their own ethnicity and everyone else's ethnicity. And that's going to require a lot of denying self and making sure that we're not taking a very approach where we just want to reproduce our own culture and other people that we disciple.
I love, too, that you talk about in your book, and we talked about on another podcast, that when you see the vision at yeah. the end of it all,
yeah.
like what's still there in the kingdom of God is the presence of ethnic identity.
That's
like
right.
He talks about every tribe, That's every right. tongue, every people, every nation, yeah. mm-hmm. this beautiful yeah. redemptive narrative that mm-hmm. climaxes there in the kingdom in That's eternity. Right. So we're, and what I'm encouraged by, Jamal, is guys like you, me, and Tony, as we labor in mm-hmm. this, our labor is not in vain yes, because I've seen the
That's
story
right.
at the end.
That's not
and
it.
This is where it's going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and besides racism, classism is a really
yes.
big separation.
Yes.
And demographic studies, knowing your communities, help you to bridge that as
yeah.
well. Being able to say, hey, this may be a homogenous community, but what are the class distinctions? Because
yeah.
you can be, very a homogenous, healthy, wealthy church
right.
and not able to bridge that class
yes.
gap.
Generations as well.
And generations as well.
Multi-generational
right.
is very
That's
important.
Right. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I think when it comes to demographics, you know, you've got your city, but there's also the need to just understand current trends.
Yes.
Like, for example, those under the age of 40, mm-hmm. millennials and Gen Z, will soon make up most congregations. And Barna on millennial church attendance said it's important to remember that millennials are not in, the up-and-coming generation anymore. They currently make up the majority of the adult population and workforce, and they're the most racially, socially, and culturally diverse generation in modern history. And I just find that very striking. And then yeah. he kind of goes on to talk about some of the problems
yeah.
and points out that they tend to be hyper-individualistic, mm-hmm. hyper-isolationist, which leads to a lot of anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And I think just the importance of a pastor, a leader, a yeah. church planter, of knowing some of these trends
yes.
Is so important as yeah. we learn how to pray for this generation, yeah. how to minister to them, how to apply the gospel to yeah. things like anxiety and depression, yeah. and how to cultivate a community
yes.
for those who feel this sort of isolation. So yeah. the point is just be a student of
yes.
culture, be a student of your city. And begin to be a wise, contextual church planter.
Yes.
And you have helped us think about that so well in your book. And one of the things you said I loved about diversity, you said, diversity is an implication and a result of gospel-driven love,
yeah.
not the goal itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The goal is faithfulness that embraces the unity God has already accomplished in Christ mm. through the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
Can you tease that out for just
Absolutely.
A bit?
Absolutely. So when I first came to Sojourn, I feel like the Lord really impressed upon me just through reading the gospel, like, what is the goal? Because mm-hmm. if we make the goal to be multi-ethnic, right? We can actually, and I've seen this happen with churches, you can actually lose focus on Jesus. And it just becomes very pragmatic. It becomes about that. But if we make the goal, rooting ourselves in our belovedness and our identity in Christ and teaching other people to do the same and creating a hospitable place where people can come and feel welcomed and seen. If you're in a diverse place, that's just, it's going to come. You make intentional steps, but it's also going to come organically, right? And so a lot of people focus on what sociologists say, 80-20 as the sign of being multi-ethnic. And I say, hey, we could keep that. We maybe having numbers is helpful, but I tell our church, I care less about the percentages, and I care more about, are we loving our neighbors ourselves? Are we curious about the people that's in this neighborhood and it's coming? Because if those two things are in place, the Lord will do it. In 2020, we're a very transient community, kind of a college town. And when everything hit, especially in Louisville with Breonna Taylor, a lot of our congregation just kind of shifted, like many churches. And when we came back, it felt like most of the work that we had did was gone. A lot of our young adults left to go back home or take jobs in other cities. And I remember coming back, everybody had on masks. And I'm like calling black and brown people. I'm like, where y'all at? Like, y'all got me out here, you know? By God's grace, people started coming back. And, you know, our team, we were just like, hey, we're just going to focus on what we're doing, not worry about certain percentages, and just be faithful. And the Lord has already kind of recreated that community, and it's by not obsessing about a particular goal, but rather a particular person, and that's Jesus.
For the church planter that's learning a new city, it's hard work, right?
It is hard work.
Where would you suggest they start?
Well, first, if you learn a new city and you're planting, man, I would first start with a team, the team that I'm planting with, making sure that I disciple them into that vision. And that they are doing the work themselves, that they are intentionally cultivating multi-ethnic friendships, relationships, that their table is diverse. Because if the team, if it's just the lead planter that's doing this and it's not a team effort and everyone's not on the same page, eventually it can blow up. So you have to make sure you cross T's, dot I's. This is the type of people we're going to become. We're not just a Sunday church. We're a church every day of the week, 7 days of the week. We're getting to know people. And we want the city to know us as people and not just like come and see on Sundays. And so I say start there.
That's great.
We've been talking about demographics. And Jamal, I know we talked about this in a previous podcast. Demographics is not the end all be all. It's a tool that we learn. One of the things we talked about in the previous podcast was the power of prayer and the multi-ethnic church. Absolutely. And I don't want to leave without, and it's particularly talking about demographics and exegeting culture and all that. At the end of the day, this is God birthing multi-ethnic church is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. He said, my house is not known as a house of preaching. It's not known as a house of worship. It's not known as a house of diversity. It's a house of prayer for all the nations. And I just think in this conversation, so Jamal, anything you would add to that just about just the spiritual nature of this as we talk about demographics?
Yeah, so if you're doing multi-ethnic, like incarnational ministry, there's going to be some trials. It's going to be hard. Ministry in general is hard. And that's where prayer comes in, right? James 1:1-5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously without reproach. And so ask God for wisdom to reach your community. Ask God for the grace to cross cultures. Ask God for the power to break down barriers. And I'm confident he will do it. He wants to do it.
Yes.
He wants your church to look like your neighborhood more than you ever could. So just ask.
Amen. And thanks to our listeners, too. We'd love for you to leave a review wherever you download your podcast and make sure you subscribe, because we've got lots of good conversations coming up at the New Churches podcast. And remember, friends, the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We are good news people in a bad news world. So let's go engage our communities with the gospel out of the overflow of a Christ-adoring heart.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.